Citizens of Hawkins, head to your local hardware store and grab some stuff to make a makeshift weapon, because it's time to go into the Upside Down. What's going on, demo dudes and demo dudettes? Welcome back into the Upside Down, the Stranger Things podcast that talks all things Stranger Things. Today we're recording episode 16. I'm your co-host Damien, and with me as always is the guy who got upset with Nancy's penmanship in her diary, the great Scott.
Ahoy! Oh, wow, I am stumped.
Come on.
You know, my uncle always tells me they don't teach cursive anymore in school, okay? We're moved on to computers in the year 2023, but Nancy, you need to improve your penmanship, please.
That's
go back
weird,
to school.
Cursive is how my uncle talks to most people. Come on.
He's a great happy zookeeper, though. We love him, John.
Oh, man, it's been a while. I mean, it is all quiet for the most part on the Western Front. Summer is here, the summer of love. And one summer can change everything. Right, great Scott?
That sounds really familiar. Was that something from our past?
Nah, it's just something I thought up on the spot right now. It's completely original. Definitely wasn't a tagline for like a season of Stranger Things at all.
You know, you should really go into branding or maybe do marketing for season 5.
Yeah, I'm not really good with a hot iron though, so I don't know how I do with branding.
Well, it's great to be back, man. I am excited to be talking about our top 3 favorite objects from the show. And we have a special guest.
Yes, we do. It is going to be awesome. It has been a long time since we've recorded, but today we will be joined by the Todd Father himself.
What is your name, sir?
Todd.
Todd?
Yeah.
Todd.
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 Friend of the show, supporter of the show, and we're going to be talking about our top 3 objects in all of Stranger Things. So we will talk real quick about some news, because we do have some stuff out there in the Stranger Things universe. Scott, you want to take the first piece of news that we got here?
Yeah, I got a huge update on the Writers and Screen Actors Guild strike that is occurring. And that update is, we got nothing. Nothing's happened. Basically, we're still at a standstill. There were rumors that maybe SAG was starting to maybe have an agreement, and then about another week has gone by, Damien. So I think we're still about at the same place. Filming is now delayed at least 2 months, now that we're in August of 2023. So we'll see what happens. I did look up some research, though. We just hit day 100 of the strike, and it seems like the Screen Actors Guild strike in 2008 lasted 99 days. So we just topped that by 1 day now.
Wow.
So we're just a little bit over the 2008 strike. And if we go all the way back to the year 1988, which was the wonderful year I was born, that was the longest strike in Screen Actors Guild history. That was at 22 weeks when they wrapped that up. So right now we're at 14 weeks. So we might still have some time to go.
That's pretty wild. Yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, and because of that, we don't have too much to talk about, and it's just halting everything. So it's going to be pretty crazy. I mean, at this point, you know, I don't know when we're going to end up seeing season 5 of Stranger Things. Like, it's going to be pretty interesting to see what happens, but I'm hoping it gets resolved soon. Like, you know, Hollywood, you look at the movies, and I think this is probably one of the first times I can recall, and I'm sure it's happened before, but like 4 movies this weekend all made over $25 million each. And that usually never happens. You have like your heavy hitter, maybe something close, and then you have your other stuff. So like people are clamoring, and, you know, obviously compensating writers, actors, everyone properly is important, because, you know, these people are providing entertainment, providing escapism for us. And it's super important that, you know, it gets resolved, not just from a we want to see Stranger Things season 5 standpoint, but just overall, you know, if these people are putting hard work and time in, spending time away from their families, friends, everything, for their careers. And, you know, hopefully it gets resolved soon.
Couldn't agree with you more. Hopefully coming up here very shortly, we'll get back to production. We'll be very excited to talk about that once it happens. But Damian, I know last episode you talked about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover, and I think you have a few of the comics, so I need to hear about it.
So yeah, this is kind of a little just, hey, get me through with some Stranger Things stuff. There is a 4-part miniseries from IDW. As far as I know, part one's the only one that's out right now. I believe part two comes out in a couple weeks, and I think it runs through the end of September. And read the first issue. Pretty neat idea. It's basically all the kids from their season 3 attires. So all their Starcourt Mall attires and stuff like that go on a trip out of Hawkins to New York City. And they're in the subway and they start hearing familiar noises, and then they see a familiar creature, and it happens to be some demo dogs. And they're like, how did these demo dogs get into New York City? And right before the demo dogs are about to attack them, the demo dogs are taken out by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And it's just a really fun little mashup. It's cool. It's really cool. So the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles think that the demo dogs are mousers, which were, you know, the little mouse robots from the animated show and the cartoons or the comics and stuff like that. So they thought they were mousers, and they're like, wow, these mousers are really crazy looking, but they're actually demo dogs. And then the kids meet the turtles. They go to the lair. A Splinter's talking to 11. It's like really, really cool. And that was pretty much all the first issue was doing, was just kind of setting up this world and like the two things crossing over with one another. And there's going to be 3 more issues. And, you know, as far as I know, it's not canon, because that would be crazy and cool if it was, but definitely not canon. Just something fun, a little mashup to, you know, just have fun with. So it's pretty cool. I definitely recommend it. There's a ton of covers, even for the first issue. There's some that are selling for like $60 right now because they're like, quote unquote, rarer, or harder to find. But, you know, if you are clamoring for anything Stranger Things, it is very fun. Go out there, support your local comic book shop. Pretty cool crossover and kind of topical, you know, given that we have a brand new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie out, and really neat little mashup there for sure.
I'm wondering how these demo dogs got to New York City. Did they dig tunnels all the way through? Does Will know about this in his mind map? Is he drawing with crayon, you know, to sketch it all out? So he can lead us there? I don't know.
If only we had Bob and you could be like, it's a map of New York City subway system. And the orange line's 10 minutes late, per usual. We need Bob the Brain. I wish there was Bob the Brain in that. But in terms of actual news from the Stranger Things world, we did get some new set photo leaks. I guess somebody had a drone and just flew it in Atlanta and just was able to capture some stuff. And just before, you know, Scott does cover this, we do talk about this on our YouTube channel, Into the Upside Down Pod. So the podcast is still going on, right? We're still going to do the podcast, but the YouTube channel is going to kind of be like our way of getting out, you know, more relevant info, faster, shorter stuff, you know, 1-minute shorts, 30-second shorts, covering some news topics and things like that. So definitely subscribe over to YouTube. We'll be posting clips from the podcast there as well, but Into the Upside Down Pod on YouTube. We'll be doing some shorts and covering more news tidbits and rumors and theories and all kinds of stuff over there.
Yeah, so you definitely want to check that out for sure. It's actually the person that recorded it with his drone. It's Jared Film on Twitter. So he took a drone out and he got amazing footage of basically a leak of the set. So this is a spoiler. If you don't want to know about it, I would skip ahead about a minute into the podcast. But so basically what this footage revealed was a recreation of downtown Hawkins. So you see you see Melvald's, where Joyce used to work, and you see a couple other stores that's in downtown Hawkins. But the thing, Damien, that really caught my attention was that there's a tall fence about 10 to 15 feet high that's surrounding the front of the stores. And in the middle of this fence is a large yellow gate, which to me looks like some type of security checkpoint with a large fence surrounding the entire downtown area. So my first thought is downtown Hawkins in some kind of quarantine zone? They're only letting certain people in, maybe certain people out. They're trying to keep things out or keep things in. And it reminds me of all the zombie movies you see on TV, kind of like that post-apocalyptic world. Most recently, kind of like The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree, man. It looks very quarantine-ish. Like, we keep talking about the time jump, and I think this season's going to pick up immediately where season four left off, and just that chaos of like decay and the upside down, like meshing into our world. Then we're going to have the time jump, and I think Hawkins is just going to be full quarantine, and I think that's where Linda Hamilton's going to come in. But you know, we'll see. I mean, it would only make sense for them to close off Hawkins to the world and quarantine it. Like, I mean, they don't know what this threat is. It's unlike anything they've probably ever seen before. So they just have to figure out some sort of way to contain this or get rid of it. So definitely looks like that. And, you know, it wasn't much that we got this week, but I'll take anything at this point. So I was just happy that we had something to look at, something to get excited about, something to think about. So pretty cool stuff, man. I'm really excited to see where they go with that. And obviously, as the sets build out more and more, you know, we'll be covering it here and on YouTube and on Instagram, just kind of sharing everything. And then one other thing we did have in our news for this episode is the Duffers did an interview with Variety Magazine, and also Noah Schnapp did, just kind of talking about like his sexuality in real life and how if he didn't play Will, he might not have actually come out. And that's kind of crazy to think that he would have still, you know, kind of been, hiding that or keeping that a secret from people, but that the character and playing the character of Will Byers like helped him open up more about everything, which I think was really cool. And then also the Duffers are basically just saying, listen, season five, it's all about Will. Will was the start. He's going to be the end. He's going to be the heart of this. He's going to be at the center of all of this in season five. Obviously, he's been tethered to the upside down since season one. I don't know if moving to California made a difference at all or if he could still feel that and sense that, but he's definitely going to play a major role in this. I don't know what it's going to be exactly, but I do think we're going to see, as the Duffer said, like, you know, him kind of growing into the man he's going to be, kind of growing into himself and growing up in that moment. And it's going to be pretty interesting to see. And it's good because, you know, Will's really been the like kind of almost taken a back seat in the past couple seasons. He's there, but he doesn't do much. So season five, it just seems like, guess what? Like he's back. And I think it's going to be really cool that they started it with him. They're going to end it with him. And the Duffers just kind of doubled down on that in a recent interview.
Mm-hmm. It would make so much sense to start season five, just like season one. It's Will Byers and he's crawling into the upside down. And he grabs Eddie's arm, wraps it around him, and he just carries Eddie right out, takes him to a local medical facility. And they just start giving him CPR compressions. It would be awesome. Now this guy doesn't even know what to say. I just blew his mind. Come on.
Wow. Yeah. All checks out. Sounds accurate to me, to be honest with you.
But in all seriousness, I am very excited about that. Will has been put on the back burner for like three seasons. I mean, basically just ignored by his best friend, in seasons three and maybe even a little bit of season four. So I'm really excited about this. I think too. It's a perfect way to wrap it all up.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Now look at Todd. He put his name, Todd Father. Here he comes.
Here we go.
Come on. He's joining, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
I think Todd Father.
The Todd Father's here.
With us today, ladies and gentlemen, demo dudes and demo dudettes, we have the Todd Father himself. He has graced us with his presence on the podcast. Todd, we just want to thank you so much. Number one, for just interacting, supporting, listening. And number two, for hopping on the podcast with us. Really glad you're here.
Absolutely. And I do want to say one thing. I've wanted to say this ever since y'all started the podcast. And I want to say, ahoy.
Yeah.
Yes. There you go, Todd.
Sorry,
thank you.
Didn't mean to take that from you, man.
No, listen, these are all everyone's. We took it from Steve. Yeah. So, Scott took it from Steve. So it's all good. I love it.
we're all just, begging and borrowing from each other. So this is great. Yeah. It's so happy to have you on finally. And thanks so much for all the emails and all the messages you've sent us. And we appreciate everything.
Oh, thank you. You guys, there's a few other Stranger Things podcasts that I do listen to, but you guys really just have like a passion for it and you have a lot of knowledge, which is really great. And I have to say, with the strike and with waiting for the season to start, I've actually listened to every episode probably 3 times, just going wow. back and listening to them over and over. So
thank
so
you.
Always good and always fun.
Thank you. That's yeah. Like I've been dipping into a ton of other Stranger Things, like Instagram pages, podcasts, YouTube videos, anything I could find to just kind of like, you know, fill that need and kind of just get me going until the strike's over. And then we start getting updates and eventually season 5's here. So I'm right there with you. And there's definitely a lot of really good Instagram profiles and other podcasts out there. We've been on some of them. We plan on having some of them on ours. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, so some people might know you, you know, just from commenting on our posts and us, you know, mentioning you in previous episodes. But for people who don't know you out there, what's your connection to Stranger Things? Like, where did it all start for you? How did you become a fan of the show?
I was a huge Star Wars fan. Still am a huge Star Wars fan. I had a friend right when Stranger Things started. He said, "Hey, have you heard of Stranger Things?" And we didn't have Netflix at the time. And so I saw the trailer and saw that it was set in the 80s when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And just watching the nerdiness and just like conspiracy theories and just the teenagers and everything was so spot on with as far as just the way they filmed it and, you know, the clothing and using old new Coke and things like that. And so after I watched the first episode, I was like, oh man, this is awesome. So I just jumped right in.
Nice.
Yeah, I love all the throwback nature of it as well, Todd. I know I was born in the 80s, but I kind of grew up as a 90s kid. But even just watching, I think as I grew up in the 90s, a lot of my favorite movies were from the 1980s. So yep. I definitely feel that nostalgia when I watch Stranger Things and definitely hear what you're saying, because I think Damien and I agree as well. But we've talked a lot on this show about favorite characters or our favorite seasons of Stranger Things. Like, would you want to share with us, you know, some of your favorites?
Yeah, I think definitely season one is my favorite. And I don't know if it's because they're younger. It reminded me a lot of my friends when you see them playing D&D and riding their bikes together and hanging out. I think it's hard to pick a favorite character, but I think Dustin is probably, well, it's Dustin and it's got to be Steve. But yep. Yeah, it's a very close call. And of course, Eddie's in there always, so it's definitely hard to pick one or two, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, it's, and it changes every season too. It's sometimes I'm just like, I mean, Eddie's like, Dustin's always gonna be my all-time favorite Stranger Things character, but then I was like, oh, like you, like Steve's a close second. Then Eddie comes in, I'm like, nah, I think Eddie's a close second, and who knows who they'll introduce in season 5 that it will be my next close second. So I don't know. But yeah, it's season 1 was great too. And like Scott said, like we were born in the 80s, so we didn't really like grow up like that, but we still grew up in the era of like riding your bike to your friend's house and like no smartphones, rotary dial phones, and all this stuff that they kind of grew up with in their universe. And, you know, so even as like kids who grew up in the 90s, it still kind of hits, you know, that nostalgia note with everything. And especially from a pop culture standpoint, all the movies, the music, and things like that, arcades, like all this, those things that you don't see as much anymore. It's definitely cool to see that and just kind of see that world and like that time period thrive throughout the course of the show too.
Yeah, definitely.
So sure. Now that we got Todd introduced to everybody out there, we're going to talk today about our top 3 favorite objects in all of Stranger Things. So this is cool because there's so many things out there. What we're going to do is we're going to go around. Each of us is going to list our 3. The other 2 will react to it, and then we'll move on until all 3 of us are completed. Then we're going to do any close calls that we might have had and any least favorite objects that we might have had. So we may or may not have those, but we definitely got our top 3. And Todd, since you're our guest, we would like you to go first and, you know, rattle off your top 3. I guess do like from importance, 3 being least to 1 being most or most favorite, should I say.
Okay. Number 3, I picked the Surfer Boy pizza delivery van.
Nice.
Awesome. I just thought that he brought a lot of comic relief. in a very dark place. And I just thought he was really cool. His character was really cool, and how him and Jonathan bonded, and just being in the 80s and, you know, just being in California and everything, seeing that, that, you know, I just thought it was a really cool, object for the season. My second one is something that when I saw it, I said, you know, what is this? What's it about? And then you started seeing everybody have one. It's the Hellfire Club t-shirt.
Yeah.
And you see so many people who didn't even know anything about D&D, but knew about the show. And then it kind of opened up some doors for them to get into some role-playing games. So, and that reminded me a lot when I was young, because I did play D&D when I was a teenager. And so, yeah, obviously with Eddie, you know, he made it look really cool.
Yep.
My number one is from season one, and it's something that, even though they don't show it a lot, it's something that I feel like all four of the guys had something to do with it. And it was a place that Will could go where he could maybe, if he needed to think about something, maybe think about his dad not being around. But my number one, and because it's from season one, is Castle Byers.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Pretty cool. I love the top three. The pizza van was also my friend Anthony referenced that, and you nailed it, because season four was very dark and I mean very terrifying. Like the gore factor was just crazy. So to have Argyle be like that much needed comic relief to kind of bring a little levity to things was totally appreciated. And the van's just, it's like an iconic vehicle at this point. Yeah. It's just so cool. So cool. The Hellfire Club shirts too. I mean, you know it's a popular shirt. Like for us, we go to the Jersey Shore and they have the boardwalks and stuff there. And you know something's popular when there's like a bootleg version of it that you could buy down at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
And last summer I went down there and there were Hellfire Club shirts everywhere, because you, once the show dropped, you couldn't even get them. Hot Topic didn't have them, couldn't find them online. So Makers obviously just kind of went to town on that and, you know, did what they could to reproduce the or recreate them and like kind of replicate. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. And Castle Byers, I like a lot too, because that does remind me of like being a kid and building a treehouse or a fort. Like a lot of kids don't do that these days. Like they're all, it's all technology based, but to have like that cool little hangout where you could just go with your friends, you chill there, you relax there, you hang out, and it's fun. Like Castle Byers, I think, is a really cool number one for sure.
Yeah, I was thinking too, Todd, about your number three with the pizza van. Not only did it provide so many fun moments and hilarious moments, but it was also the reason that Eleven basically survived. It created that distraction when the military was trying to snipe her from the helicopter. So another great appearance from the Surfer Boy pizza van. And
yeah.
Also just thinking about Castle Byers, I mean, it was such a great spot for Will to kind of get away from his tough family situation. And then also, how sad was it when he then went back and destroyed Castle Byers, basically, you know, and he was just kind of so fed up with his life and kind of struggling with growing up that he just kind of went back and ended that period of his life and kind of moved on. So as much as it was a great place to be, it was also kind of sad in the end.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Great top three, though.
Absolutely. Scott, you want to go next?
Oh, man. Pressure's on. Todd had some really good ones.
Yeah.
I of course, came up with like the most weird things you could think of. anyway, so yes, coming in at number three, guys, is something from way back in season two. It's actually Bob Newby's video camcorder, the JVC CRG1. So as we talked about on a previous episode of the podcast, Damian, you had mentioned that this was featured in one of my favorite movies of all time, Back to the Future. So yes. Marty McFly was operating the same camera while he was recording Doc Brown, introducing the time machine. But one of the cool reasons I thought about is while the kids were using it, while they were trick-or-treating, it was actually the first instance I know of that the Mind Flayer was recorded. Basically, you know, the Mind Flayer's in the Upside Down. Nobody can really see it in our world, but Joyce was able to take that VHS tape, and by pausing it and looking through the static, she actually saw an outline of the Mind Flayer for the first time. And I just thought that was a really cool moment. Me being a video nerd myself, Always really cool to see an old school camcorder featured, and the way that it kind of revealed the outline of the Mind Flayer to Joyce, I thought was really well done in the show. My number two is something from season three. Had to go with a food and beverage option. This would be Alexi Slurpee is my number two. And because instead of the cherry that he much desired, it was actually the shit strawberry that he ended up with. I might have to bleep that out. But anyway, I just thought, like, literally the way that they brought up this Slurpee, like, I chose it because it was such a, you know, ridiculous and over the top moment in season three. Like, literally there's an interdimensional battle occurring between the Upside Down and all of the kids in Hawkins. And basically we, at the same time, witness a rogue Russian scientist and the local police chief literally arguing and coming to blows and fighting over a 7-Eleven Slurpee. Like, it's just the most ridiculous thing that can happen. So always thought that was hilarious and led to some really good comedic moments in season three.
Yep.
And my number one is something from way back in season one. I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but number one is Will's fake body is my number one. And the reason I chose this was because, you know, that was the moment that I think really got me hooked into Stranger Things, when Chief Hopper walks in and sticks that knife into Will's chest. You know, we think presumably it's actually Will Byers. And then he pulls out that fake stuffing out of the chest. You know, that kind of sealed the deal for me. That's what got me completely hooked on the show. You know, and I kind of realized that this show was going to be on a different level with, you know, all the compelling mysteries and government conspiracies and everything like that. So, and that's also what started my journey into becoming a paranormal investigator on this show. otherwise known as a total weirdo that I just study every little detail of Stranger Things and try to theorize what will happen next. So that's what started it all for me.
Nice. It's funny. I didn't even think about Will Byers' body. That's just like, that was such a whoa moment, because it was, I mean, like, obviously we see something abduct him, but like, that was just kind of like a whole nother layer on top of it. Like, it wasn't like, people were aware about this abduction and were hiding things. And it was just such a cool reveal that I remember when the first time I watched season one, I was just like, what? It was just, I just remember just sitting there, like, my jaw dropped and I'm just like, I couldn't believe it. It was just really, really cool. And that's, like you said, it was probably a big moment that hooked a lot of people, because some people might thought, oh, it's just supernatural stuff. But then there's like this layer on top of it with government conspiracy and cover up and really, really interesting stuff. I like that. That number one is like really, really cool. It's something I didn't even think about at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's kind of how it was for me when I saw that. I was like, you know, knew that it was going to be something very deep with conspiracy theories and things like that and supernatural. And so that's definitely one thing that definitely grabbed my attention in the first season.
For sure, Todd. Yeah, that's it. That was it for me. I was already like, okay, I like this show. I'm really into it. And I think at that point, it just really turned it up a couple notches.
I love that you picked the strawberry Slurpee. it is like, that's, I think that was probably the one thing that really endeared Alexi to like the fan base. It was like, he's this guy that, like, you know, he's just like, I guess, like, in the eyes of Americans at that time, maybe like a heartless, soulless, like Russian scientist. And here he just has a preference for a cherry Slurpee over a strawberry.
It was just so stupid that, like, kind of like how Todd said in, you know, in the fourth season with Argyle, like that was like the third season. It kind of broke up all of the craziness that was going on. Here's a Russian scientist and the police chief arguing over a Slurpee. Like, it's the dumbest thing you can think of.
Like, the world's at stake.
Then they stole my car.
Yeah, and they stole your car.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my gosh.
That's so funny.
That's a great object too. The actual Todd Father Mobile.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wait, what was your number three, Scott? I don't know why I'm blanking right now.
It was the camcorder.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's awesome too. And like, yeah, that's just like the little stuff the Duffers do. Like, they throw all these cool little Easter eggs from stuff they love and stuff that, you know, eagle-eyed fans will either pick up or not pick up, and they'll read it on the internet like I did a couple years later and find out about it and appreciate it that much more. But yeah, the camcorder is cool. I mean, that's, you know, Bob has good taste. And that was actually what he had, that camcorder technically before Back to the Future came out.
Cause yeah, he probably
84.
Yeah. Do you think he purchased it in 84 at his local Radio Shack?
Probably. Yeah. Use the employee discount for sure.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. Cool stuff, man. All right. I'll get into my top three. So my number three is Nancy's Diary from season 4.
Okay.
And the reason why I like that is because that was when we had the big reveal of, wait, the Upside Down is stuck on the date Will Byers disappears. And why is that? So that to me was cool because it was a very intriguing thing. Like they did it for a reason. They put it in there for a reason. You know, we're all just worried about how are they going to get out of the Upside Down. And then they go there and they see how everything's just stuck in time, basically. And then you get the reveal from Nancy's Diary that, oh, this is the exact day that Will Byers was abducted and he vanished. And I really like that one just because that was a whole nother layer of interesting and more things to think about and speculate about as to why the Upside Down stuck in that date. So that was my number three. Number two is from season 2, and that would be, well, actually, I guess part of season 1, too. The spiked baseball bat that is wielded by Steve, but was actually made by Jonathan. I just think that's like a really iconic thing. It's almost like from Walking Dead, you have like Negan and he has Lucille, his baseball bat with barbed wire. And I think this is like right up there with iconic weapons. And this is totally something that you would see in like, a movie made in the 80s, like a makeshift weapon that could, you know, thwart or maybe hold off a monster. So I really like that a lot. It was just, you know, nothing crazy, no great purpose with it aside from hitting demo dogs and trying to attack Demogorgon with it, but it was still something that I appreciated and I really, really liked. And then of course, guys, if you listen to the podcast at all, you know my undying love for Eddie Munson. So my number one was Eddie's BC Rich guitar that he used to shred in the Upside Down with in season 4. That was just a really cool one. I love the reveal of how it's there in the Upside Down. And part of the plan is to distract the demo bats by playing Master of Puppets. And that was his big, like epic moment. And it was really cool. And I just love other little things about that. Like when the show came out versus when that album was released, just kind of like spoke to Eddie, his dedication to music and how maybe talented he was as a musician. Cause there was like almost, he maybe had like a month and a half to learn that song somehow. And I don't know if they thought about that when they were timing all these things out, but I just loved it. It was Master of Puppets. He was shredding on the guitar. So my number one was Eddie's BC Rich guitar from season 4.
That's awesome. And I can remember when the trailer came out and everybody was like, who is this guy standing on the top of a trailer in the Upside Down playing a guitar solo, you know, which it was just awesome seeing him do that.
Yep. It was his big moment. Like they promised like an epic musical moment similar to season 3. And that was definitely like dialed up. Never Ending Story was so silly, but amazing at the same time. And then this was more the same thing, high stakes, but set to like a music track. And it was just really cool.
It's amazing that people just watching the trailer could tell. Like I remember some people on Twitter were like, it's Master of Puppets. Like I can see the way he's playing the guitar. It's just incredible. Like that guitar became so iconic with Eddie and with the show. Like it has to be one of the best scenes ever of Stranger Things for sure. Maybe in TV history. So that's an awesome pick, Damian. And I'm also thinking back to, you said the diary, which also as a fan of Back to the Future, I've been kind of wishing for a time travel storyline, I think these last couple seasons, but I don't know if we'll get time travel, but it is really unique and interesting that the Upside Down is stuck on that date in 1983. And it was neat that Nancy's diary was kind of what revealed that. So The Duffer said that's going to be like one of the big storylines of season 5. Like, hey, like Upside Down stuck in 83. We're going to tell you why in the next season. So I'm really excited to find out about that. And it all started with Nancy's diary. That's what paranormal investigators do. They look into old diaries and they look for clues. And that's what we did. You found a good clue.
Yes. Nancy Drew. Oh, man. Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think we all had, it's crazy. So we all had top threes and we didn't overlap with anything. Or maybe we could here, but Todd, do you have any close calls, anything that was close to making the top three but didn't quite crack the list?
Yeah, actually, I had two. And one was the walkie-talkies that they would use to talk to each other, which I thought was really cool. And another one was actually the Dungeons and Dragons board, or the, you know, playset that they were playing with. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I Dungeons and Dragons is cool. I've had the opportunity to play a couple times. I want to play more. And the more we talk about it on the podcast, the more I want to get out there and play again too. And it's becoming more and more prevalent now, I think, because of Stranger Things, which is cool because it's really like really involved. A lot of imagination goes into it. And I mean, just the board that they played on, and the pieces, the miniatures and everything, which is like really, really cool. So I like those close calls a lot, for sure.
Yeah. I remember like growing up, like just messing around with walkie talkies. Like they just seemed so state of the art back then. And it was just always fun to like talk to someone across, you know, even from house to house, like talk to your neighbors or something. Yeah. And watching the kids use them, I'm like, wow, that's exactly how it was in real life. I mean, even though I wasn't in the 80s, but even in the 90s, we were messing around with those. And
yeah,
I think thinking back to the Dungeons and Dragons board, Todd, that's like the one thing I think of is when Eleven just picks it up and they're like, where's Will? You know, where's Will at? And she just takes the board and flips it upside down. I just remember like kind of like the pit in my stomach when I saw that, like, this is so cool and also like eerie at the same time.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Did you, Todd, do you have anything that was like a least favorite object? I know we just kind of like came up with that pretty recently, but anything from the show you could think of that was like a least favorite object?
No, just everybody who Nancy worked with at the post.
That's very fair. Yep.
Loosey goosey, Brucey.
Oh yeah.
Gosh. Definitely. Terrible. Everyone was so terrible to her there. It was rough. Really,
they
really
were
rough.
Just horrible people. Like they were her managers. Like what did, was it Mrs. Wheeler call them? You know, I think it was a-holes maybe.
Probably.
Or no, I think it was, was it shitheads?
That you stood up to those shitheads. Mom. Yes, those shitheads.
All right, Scott, what about you? Any close calls or any least favorite objects from Stranger Things?
Yeah, some of the close calls. Number one, I said Dustin's hairspray was one of my close calls. And obviously the reason being that it's what gave us his amazing hairdo at the snowball in season two. So just seeing him walk in there so confident, and it broke my heart to see the girls just turning him down. But he felt great. That's what matters the most. You know, he had the hairspray. Great. And Farrah Fawcett, I think it is. What is it? Two pumps or something of one. I also have one other one. I hope I'm not stealing this from you, Damien. But
We'll see.
One of my close calls was a nice, big, delicious glass of lemonade from Mrs. Driscoll.
Well, no, I'll tell you right now, we did not overlap. We did not.
Wow.
Overlap. That's amazing. That's really amazing for all three of us on here and picking that many things. But yeah, nothing's more refreshing on a hot summer day than a glass of Mrs. Driscoll's lemonade, for sure.
Yeah, had to mention our girl for sure.
I love it. How about any like least favorite objects?
One of the ones that I really disliked is Will's haircut. Is that an object? I don't know. I mean, it looks like a wig, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's I don't even think you have to be a Stranger Things fan to have seen that meme and probably chuckle at it, where it's like the real travesty in Stranger Things is Will's barber or something like that. Because he's just got these horrible bowl cuts for like, it's just, yeah, I don't know. He's going to probably look like a GQ model by the end of season five or something. Like they'll do like a glow up or whatever with him. But yeah, the bowl cut, that's funny. I like it. For least favorite. So I have two close calls. One would be Dustin's hats. And I think they've kind of become an iconic item with Stranger Things. Like season one, it was just a plain old like trucker hat, red, white, and blue, but it became a popular thing. And then they kind of realized that. So they ran it back. for the past couple seasons where he has just different color hats, trucker hats with different messaging on them. Like, what was it? I think Camp Nowhere was the other one he wore. And then the thinking cap. So I love those. And I love that they make them. So like fans can purchase them and wear them. And if I ever wear this or my other Dustin hat, even that other Dustin hat, it's, I have the red, white, and blue. People know what it is automatically because that's just how iconic they've made and how iconic he's made it. Like you never see him without a hat unless he's, you know, going to the dance and his hair is all fancy. And my other close call was something that Chief Hopper had purchased for him from JCPenney down at the Star Court Mall. That would be his Magnum PI teal pink Hawaiian shirt that he wore to Enzo's for his date with Choice.
That is amazing.
I just love the shirt. I just like that era of Hopper. Like he's clear. He like, obviously he's chief of police. So he's seen some stuff and he's done some stuff, but he just like so badly wants to be Magnum PI to the point that he's got the mustache. He's got the bright Hawaiian shirt going. So I really, really love that. And I didn't have a least favorite, that I could like immediately think of. So I don't have a least favorite. But I'm sure if I did think enough, there would be something that pops up and I can always just maybe do a follow-up on our next episode.
You know, Todd, Damian just loves everything. He can't say a bad word about this show, and it's really, really noble of him.
Oh, wait, I had one more close call. So this is from season 4. It's actually the bandana that Eddie had tied around his leg because I think he's going to use that to stop his bleeding from all the demo bats, and then he's going to be alive in season 5. So Eddie's bandana is going to single-handedly bring him back. No, it won't. It won't. He's gone. Yeah. So there's that as my joking close call item. But we actually have some cool ones that some people had submitted. I already read one. My friend Anthony had said the pizza, the Surfer Boy pizza van, which I think is just so cool. They made like a Funko Pop of it. And it has like a little Argyle that sits in it. It's really neat. And I agree, like Anthony and Todd, you guys had we're on the same page with that one. And then our my friend Lauren actually said Steve Harrington's hair, which is at this point with how big it is, it's almost like a character in itself. It's become iconic in Stranger Things, like just how impeccable his hair is, even to the point where Dustin's like, dude, I need to know what your secret is. So that was another one that one of our friends had submitted to us. Scott, do you have any other ones?
Yeah, for sure. My gosh, we have a ton that came in, a few that came in on email. So and also one that was from Twitter, from another podcast, Coffee and Contemplation. So
oh, cool.
Not sure if you've ever listened to them, Todd.
Yeah, I listened to them and I actually found out about Ham Radio through you guys. Started listening to that one as well.
Oh, cool.
Ashley's awesome. Yeah, they're awesome over there. And Coffee and Contemplation is really great too. They put out a lot of really neat like reels and things like that on Instagram. So it's just fun. Like this whole community, I say it all the time, but it's just a really great community of fans. And it's neat that everyone supports everyone and everyone listens to everyone's podcasts or interacts with their social medias. So it's just really, really cool.
First of all, so this was Robin from Coffee and Contemplation. And they said, Steve Spiky Bat,
nice.
Which is a classic. Lucas's Slingshot, which I really like.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. And then also, this is a really great one from season 4, Max's Walkman.
There, yeah, iconic.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's a good one, too, because they, it's been pretty crazy. They, I remember when season 4, part 1 dropped, I was like, maybe I could buy a Walkman. Let me see. And of course, like they just shot up in price because everyone needed to have the one that Max had. But yeah, really, really cool.
For sure. Yeah. And then also Jenna from the same podcast said, just wrote in one and she said, Will's painting.
Hurts. Okay. Yeah. I think that's definitely going to play into season 5 too, with, you know, how Will views Mike in relation to his role in the party and everything else. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting, but yeah, really cool.
And you know, yeah. One thing I was watching that scene again. And when Mike asks Will, I said, did you paint this? He said, yeah. He said, L commissioned me to do it. So I was wondering what you guys thought, if maybe she had seen this in a vision, or if she had seen this, you know, somehow how Nancy had seen, you know, something in the Upside Down, or if it's something that's going to be, you know, in the next season with her seeing that.
That's pretty interesting. Honestly, like there's a distinct possibility that maybe she like had some idea of a vision and gave it to Will. Cause I do think that, you know, like that three-headed monster was in there. And I think that we're going to see something like that in season 5, like Vecna's going to have like one last big bad monster to try and take everybody out. But I think that's entirely possible. I think the painting was it was in there and it had meaning in that moment in season 4. But I do think that it's going to be like a callback moment that we're going to look at in season 5 for sure.
Yeah. That's really interesting, Todd. I never thought about Eleven seeing visions of the future. And my gosh, she has so many similarities to Vecna. Vecna can project the future, you know, to Nancy. Why can't Eleven, you know, project something and show Will? Yeah. So that's a really great point.
It's awesome.
Let's see, guys. So yeah, there's a couple other emails. So this is one of our new listeners that wrote in for the first time, and we can call them either Gray or nickname Q-Tip. Have wrote in number 3, Joyce's Christmas lights.
Yeah, yep. Definitely iconic.
Definitely up there and a great one. I mean, geez, that got so many people interested in the show. Also said as tied for number 3, Steve's bat, which we've heard from a lot of people.
Nice.
Number 2, Will's painting for Mike. Agree with Jenna from the other podcast. And number 1, Eddie's guitar.
Yeah, nice. I mean, the Christmas lights are a good one. That was like when Stranger Things 1 came out, how many people did that with their Christmas lights, because they were, you know, once the fandom really started drumming up for the show. I think that's cool. And Todd, like when Scott and I went to like the Stranger Things, like it was like the experience / store. It wasn't like the souped up one. It was like this free experience they had in New York. They had like the buyer's living room and he had the Christmas lights there and then the couch and everything. So it was pretty cool to get our picture taken by that. But Christmas lights, good idea. Like, and the bat is just one of those cool weapons. I hope we see another bat, maybe 2x4, something like that in season 5 too.
Yeah.
Definitely. There's got to be an iconic weapon of season 5, I'm sure. All right, guys. So moving on, another email from Karen Squared. And they said that their top 3 were the letter Max wrote to Billy, which is
wow.
A good one. That's one we haven't heard yet.
It's pretty heavy. It's deep.
Yeah. And then also another repeat, Eddie's guitar, very popular answer. And the final one was Elle's bracelet that Hopper gave to her, which is amazing, which I think was Sarah Hopper's bracelet. And it's traveled to Elle now, and we've seen it throughout all the seasons.
Wow. Good call on that one. Really good call. A lot of meaning behind it, too. That's pretty cool. Really like that.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever seen on Twitter, some people will take the photos and it'll say like the basically how Sarah Hopper's like bracelet traveled. Like it'll show it went from her and then Hopper had it on, then Eleven had it on, then there's the one scene of like Hopper and Eleven have it wrapped around both of their hands at the same mm-hmm. time in the mall, and then I think you see Elle with it again obviously in the future. So really cool to see how that traveled around to everybody.
Pretty cool.
All right, so moving on, we also had Jonah, who's written in before. So Jonah is a big fan listener of the show, so I appreciate you writing in again, Jonah. And Jonah's responses are a fresh one. Number 1, Eggos.
Good choice.
this is one of my favorites. I know Damien loves it, and probably you do too as well, Todd, but the Michael Myers mask.
Oh, yeah.
That's classic. Classic with Eddie just popping out from the trailer wearing that mask.
Yep.
And Jonah also said Nancy's shotgun, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
So a lot of people mentioned weapons. He actually went on to say, anytime she wields a shotgun, she's like a total badass. Then you realize you kind of have a crush on her, at least when she has the shotgun.
that is so. She, yeah. I would love I would love to see like some kind of like scene between her and Linda Hamilton, like just some kind of maybe passing of the torch type thing. Cause yeah, Nancy, like you look at her in season one to now, like she's just become like a total boss. And I mean, she pretty much like, if Vecna didn't fall out of the window, like he, like they, she could have finished him with the sawed off shotgun. Like it was, she was just, had no problem shooting that thing. It was crazy. She's awesome. Yeah. Really good choices.
Okay, this is really funny. So this is the last one. But also real quick, before we go back, I'd love to ask you guys, do you think Linda Hamilton is going to be number one in the military or not? Or do you think she'll be good or bad?
Todd, you can go first.
I was wondering if she is going to be a Creole. I didn't know if maybe she would be a distant relative coming in or not. And I even thought, is she old enough to be Karen's mom, or is she not quite? And I didn't know about that. She may be related to Karen and somehow.
It could be Nana.
Could be.
Man, Todd, I honestly didn't even think of that. But like that would be kind of fascinating. And I look back to when they cast Robert Englund. Like he's known for playing Freddy Krueger, and in Stranger Things, it was like a completely opposite type of character for him, like a sympathetic, sad, broken down old man. So I wonder if they would kind of do the same with Linda Hamilton. Cause like, you know, she was fighting Arnold in the 80s and 90s and just has that reputation of being like a no nonsense, you know, type of woman. So, I mean, it would be pretty interesting to see, like, you know, my mind, it goes to like, she's gotta be some sort of military person, but it would be interesting if she was a Creole. Like that's pretty crazy. And, you know, there's still a lot of people out there that talk about, is Karen like somehow related to the big picture of everything too? Cause like the character poster that she had for season four. So, I mean, even if she just was like Grandma Wheeler, like that would, that would be awesome. I would think that was just so cool. And she would fit it age-wise. I think she would fit in perfectly there for that. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I would love to see that versus just the standard. She's going to be a, you know, member of the army or government or something. Yeah. Like, I think it would be pretty cool to see her play something that's outside of like her wheelhouse and her typical roles that we see.
Yeah. And I thought if they do actually start season five, where season four ended in Hawkins, that she could be maybe a family member coming to Hawkins to maybe help out and see how, you know, Karen and them are doing. So, and that's kind of where my first thought went.
That's really cool.
That's a really great theory. I'm just looking at the ages. I'm just looking at the ages real quick. It looks like, I mean, according to Stranger Thingspedia, Karen Wheeler is supposed to be around 42 years old, give or take. And in real life, Linda Hamilton's 66. So that's a 24-year difference. It could totally be her mother.
Yeah.
Easily.
That checks out. Wow. Todd might have breaking news here. He might have just
hit the sound effect.
He might have been in the writer's room before the strike, and he just dropped a little kernel here on the pod for everybody. Man,
all right.
I'm going to be thinking about that like for the rest of the night and tomorrow now.
Seriously, that's just I did not see that one coming.
I really like that a lot. That's really, really cool. I would love, now if it doesn't happen, I'll be kind of bummed if she's not somehow like a Wheeler or something. Like, yeah, that's awesome. That would be really cool. Really, really cool.
Yeah, good stuff, Todd. We have one final write in here, guys, and this is from, as almost like Paul Heyman in WWE, who's the wise man. This is actually from The Wise One.
Cool.
And this, they have a top three, and I'm going to read them out for you guys. Number three, Steve's bat. Number two, Steve's bat. Number one, the bat Jonathan makes in order to fight the Demogorgon in season one, which was later given to Steve. That's awesome. Thank you, wise one.
I mean, you can't debate the wise one. Wise one knows all. So that's so funny. Oh, man.
They also wrote in a bonus. They said, Eddie's guitar, it technically saved everyone.
There you go. Eddie took the non-violent route, whereas Jonathan and Steve were like, "Nah, give me the bat. I'm just gonna start swinging here. I'm good." That's awesome. Well, thanks everyone for the emails and the messages. Like, it's pretty cool, especially because we didn't really get this out until like yesterday-ish, maybe even a couple of days ago. But to just have everyone, I'm glad that like people think the same way we do, and they have like these favorite objects throughout the course of the show. So really cool, you know, being able to share all those with everybody here on the pod, and of course talking about ours, like really, really cool stuff. But yeah, Todd, just thanks for hopping on again. Like, this was a lot of fun. It's really cool to have someone else talk to instead of just like me and Scott. Not that, you know, not complaining about you, Scott, but it's always fun to like have somebody else give their perspective and give their thoughts about the show and just to kind of hear like where everyone comes from too. Cause like, I was late to Stranger Things. I found it, probably a couple months after people were really talking about it. And then I binged the first season and I was instantly hooked. But by that point, so many people were onto the next streaming show that was being big or talked about. So it's just always cool to hear where everyone comes from with the fandom.
It's kind of how I was. I jumped on about halfway through season one. And then as soon as season two came out, I was buying the season one DVD set and the season two DVD set. The season one actually looks like, I don't know if you've seen it, but it comes in a box. It looks like it's from like a video store.
That's like cool.
Yes, it's really cool.
That's really cool.
That's amazing. I got to get something like that.
They're probably going to do something big for like the complete series set too, with all five of them in there. Like, that'll be a good, but that will be, I don't have a DVD player right now or a Blu-ray, but I would buy one probably to get these. You know, there's going to be special features and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, I'll definitely do it for that, for sure.
I'm sure you could go down to Family Video and Keith could get you a copy.
I just got to make sure I tell him that, you know, Return of the Jedi is not my favorite Star Wars movie with the teddy bears.
Teddy bears, yeah.
So I don't get myself in trouble.
Now, that guy better return in season five along with Mr. Clark, I hope.
We'll see. A lot of characters they could bring back, or they could just do the easy route and say, oh, they died, and I hope that's not the case, but to take a look at the missing board, and maybe if Keith's not on there or Mr. Clark, then there's a chance for season five. So guys, that was our conversation with the Todd Father about our favorite objects in Stranger Things. As always, we would love to hear what your favorite objects are. Even though we didn't get to read them here, we could always read them during the next episode. You can always write us a line at intotheupsidedownpod@gmail.com. @into_upsidedown on Twitter. I always get that one weird. Into the Upside Down Pod on Instagram. And check us out on YouTube as well. Into the Upside Down Pod. We're going to be posting some stuff there, snippets from the show, news that might drop, anything and everything, just because it's a little bit easier to get that kind of stuff turned around and put out for people to enjoy. But of course, we're going to be doing the podcast, and we will be doing one shortly. Scott, any ideas on what our next topic will be? Do we have that decided yet? I know that there's
a couple. I think we do have it decided. I think our next episode is going to be all about the man that is Henry Creel, aka Vecna, and what is motivating Vecna. I think that will be our next episode.
Lot to dig there. Lot to dig through there, and a lot of potential possibilities that could come true, might not come true, reaches, which I'm known to do from time to time. But yeah, really excited. As always, we just want to thank everybody for the support, the likes, the listens, the interactions. Scott and I really appreciate it all, everything. And Todd, we appreciate you. And that's all we got for today, guys. So before we get out of here, just remember, friends don't lie. We will catch you guys next time when we go into the Upside Down.
Todd's got to hit us with a see you, nerds.
See you, nerds.